All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today, we're really getting down to brass tacks. We're talking about how to turn those entrepreneurial dreams, those sparks of ideas, into something real, something that makes an impact. And to do that, we're going to be diving deep into goal setting and habit formation. This is all about becoming the most effective version of yourself, making commitments you can actually stick to, and really building that unshakable trustworthiness, not just with others, but with yourself.
You know, it's like we're giving you a toolkit for self-leadership today, a way to blend exploration with focused action. We'll be looking at what's called search-based thinking. That's all about staying flexible, exploring possibilities, and learning as you go. But then we're going to merge that with the more structured side of things, the planning-based techniques, like good old-fashioned time management. That's the magic combo right there.
I love that, the magic combo. And speaking of putting these ideas into practice, for those of you tackling assignment 6 and 7, listen up. What we're unpacking today is going to give you a serious advantage in shaping your entrepreneurial ventures.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting, if we rewind a bit to our last conversation, we touched on these models, the TRA and TPB, and they really highlight how your underlying beliefs kind of set the stage for everything. They shape your attitudes, your values, and ultimately they influence your intentions, your goals, and even the actions you take. But here's the kicker. While those beliefs and attitudes often work behind the scenes, subconsciously, your goals, those are conscious choices. You get to decide.
It's like those goals are like a laser beam for your aspirations. You might have a general interest in something big like making a difference, or maybe a core value around financial independence. But a goal takes that broad idea and gives it a sharp focus. Like, okay, this week I'm going to conduct 3 customer interviews to really nail down their needs. Or by Friday, I'm diving deep into research on 3 potential revenue streams for my business. You're not just dreaming it. You're taking action.
That's it. And it's not just about crushing it in business. It's about this richer, more fulfilling life overall. When you combine effective goal setting with the right habits, that's where you fuel what's known as PERMA, positive emotions. You know, that feeling of joy and contentment, engagement, feeling truly absorbed in what you're doing, strong relationships, meaning having a sense of purpose that drives you, and achievement, that satisfying feeling of accomplishment. Remember what Yoda said, do or do not. There is no try. That's the level of commitment we're after.
Love that. And you know, when you look at how those who've really nailed goal setting approach it, there are some definite patterns, some common threads. It's not just about making a wish list and hoping for the best. It all starts with really looking inward, understanding what makes you tick, those core motivations, and then being brutally honest about your current skills and resources, what you got to work with. But a big part of this is getting curious about your beliefs, the attitudes and values that drive your decisions. From there, it's all about self-discipline, that ability to stay accountable, to build trust in yourself. And the amazing thing is when you do that, it naturally spills over into how others see you too. You become someone people can rely on.
And one thing that keeps popping up is this idea of aligning your internal world, those beliefs, values, and interests, with those external goals you set. It's like finding that sweet spot where everything clicks. And that alignment, it's a cornerstone of positive psychology. It's how you tap into that deep well of motivation that keeps you going. And to make that happen, you need strong habits, those small, consistent actions that compound over time. And then you layer on this sense of willpower, agency, that feeling of self-leadership. Maslow said it best. If you plan on being anything less than you are capable of being, you will probably be unhappy all the days of your life. Powerful stuff. Goals are about reaching for your full potential.
Okay, so let's get practical. How do our brains actually work when it comes to making decisions and sticking to our plans? There's this really cool analogy that compares our minds to, get this, an elephant and an executive. So the elephant, that's our system one, it's that subconscious part of our brain that's all automatic, running on autopilot. It's fast, it's emotional, and it totally loves taking the easy way out.
And then you have the executive system too. That's where the conscious, deliberate thinking happens, the planning, the self-control, like Richard Daft talked about in The Executive and the Elephant. The tricky part is that our elephant system one, it's actually driving the majority of our decisions. Like estimates say something crazy, like 70 to 95%. It's all those gut reactions, those immediate impulses taking over.
Which is why when you think about it, self-leadership becomes so crucial. It's about consciously stepping in as the executive, bringing that focused attention and energy to the table, and guiding that powerful but sometimes impulsive elephant where you want to go.
Exactly. And that's where agency comes in. Think of agency as intentionally programming your subconscious mind, training your elephant to work with you. And how do you do that? By using those self-leadership tools we talked about, positive self-talk, reframing those negative thoughts, setting strategic goals, and building those rock-solid habits, it's all about aligning your subconscious beliefs with what you consciously want to achieve.
So you're basically becoming the architect of your own character. By consciously shaping your subconscious, you're actively designing who you become. You're not just a product of your past or outside influences.
Absolutely. And character, that's where trustworthiness and the quality of your relationships really come into play. When you consistently act in line with your goals and values, you build this reputation for reliability. You become the person who walks the walk, not just talks the talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you someone others can depend on. Now, psychology has different views on character, but this idea of agency, it really emphasizes our ability to actively grow and develop ourselves to become more than just our initial tendencies.
Okay, let's pause for a second and get a little introspective. Think about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is like, I avoid setting goals like the plague, and 10 is goal setting. That's my jam, is how I thrive. Where would you honestly put yourself right now? What does that number tell you about how you approach goals? Are they a chore, a source of motivation, or something in between? Take a second to really consider that number. Is it where you want to be?
Now, it's important to remember that goals come in all shapes and sizes. We've got those massive long-term visions, those BHAs, the big, hairy, audacious goals like launching a revolutionary company or making a major life change. Those are like your North Star, giving you that overall direction.
Then you've got the smaller, more immediate stuff, your daily and weekly to-dos. That's where the SMART framework comes in handy. You know, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. We also have goals we can directly control, like dedicating a specific chunk of time to market research, versus those influenced by external factors, like securing funding.
Right. And it helps to distinguish between outcome goals, which are those results-based ones, like hitting a specific sales target. Then you have process goals. Those are all about the actions and habits that'll likely get you there, like making a certain number of sales calls every week. And let's not forget those more open-ended aspirations, those values or interests that are harder to quantify initially, like building killer customer relationships or brainstorming awesome new product ideas. Those are often best framed as design challenge questions or DCQs. They set the stage for exploration and discovery.
That's where things get interesting. This is where traditional planning meets what's called effectual searching, and it's a powerful combo. Traditional planning is great when you have a clear BHE, like knowing you want to become a software engineer. You can map out the education you need, the skills to learn, the career steps in a pretty straightforward way.
But when those big goals are fuzzier, less defined, that's where effectual searching comes in. It's not about starting with a fixed destination. You begin with a DCQ, a compelling question, and you embrace this iterative, experimental approach. It's like the bird in the hand principle. You start with the resources you have right now, and then there's the pilot in the plane principle, which is all about focusing on what you can control, your time, effort, learning, rather than just those unpredictable outcomes. And let's not forget the affordable loss principle. Take calculated risks, sure, but don't go all in on something untested. Remember Bruce Lee's words. A goal is not always meant to be reached. It often serves simply as something to aim at. It's about direction, even if the path changes along the way.
Okay, so how do we put this into action, like with our assignments or any entrepreneurial search? The Double Diamond process is a fantastic framework. Step 1, state your design challenge question clearly. For assignment 7, it might start broad, like what business should I even start? But you can reframe that to be more focused, more actionable, like what unmet need in my local community can I realistically address with what I've got right now, my skills and resources?
Absolutely. Then, step 2, you move into the divergent thinking phase. This is all about generating a ton of potential goals and action items within a set time, maybe a 5 or 10 minute brainstorming session. The key here is to hold back on judging. Just let those creative juices flow. Go for quantity over quality at this point, even if some ideas seem a little out there. Tools like quick warm-up exercises for creativity and mind mapping, like Tony Buzan shows, can really spark those initial ideas. Don't be afraid to ask yourself thought-provoking questions related to your DCQ. And try visualizing different possibilities. Even something as simple as post-it notes can help.
Then comes step 3, the convergent thinking phase. This is where you start to pull those diverse ideas together. You look for patterns, for common themes, and you start prioritizing. A simple 2x2 matrix can be super helpful here. You could map your ideas against things like potential impact versus ease of implementation, or maybe personal interest versus market demand. That way, you can zero in on those high-priority goals, the ones with the most potential. Once you've got those, refine them into SMART goals, make sure they're specific, measurable, achievable, relevant to your DCQ, and time-bound. And here's the crucial part. Those SMART goals need to get scheduled into your weekly calendar. No excuses.
So true. Step 4 is all about checking in on your design thinking process. Take a minute to reflect. Did you start with a well-defined question? Did you use the right tools for brainstorming and prioritizing? Did you visualize your ideas effectively? Did you make real progress? What insights did you gain? Are you set up for the next iteration? Steve's ECLD video hashtag 3 has some great points to consider during this reflection stage.
And finally, step 5, time management. Those crucial goals, your big rocks, need to be actively scheduled into your week. This ties in perfectly with Stephen Covey's idea of quadrant 2 activities, those important but not urgent tasks that often get pushed aside. They're crucial for long-term progress.
And that brings us to the heart of time management. It doesn't matter how amazing your goals are if you don't have a system for getting things done. Like the legendary coach Vince Lombardi said, "The best game plan in the world never blocked or tackled anybody. You've got to execute."
One of the most fundamental frameworks for time management is Stephen Covey's 4-quadrant model. It helps you sort tasks by urgency and importance. Quadrant 1, that's for the urgent and important stuff, crises, immediate deadlines, you know, those fire drills. Quadrant 3, that's urgent but not important. A lot of interruptions fall here, some meetings too. Then there's quadrant 4, neither urgent nor important. Distractions, time wasters, those things you really shouldn't be doing at all. But the real magic, that's in quadrant 2, those important but not urgent tasks. Think proactive work, relationship building, planning, learning. These are the big rocks that'll make the biggest difference in the long run.
And that's where Covey's put first things first principle comes in. Remember that classic analogy of filling a jar? If you start with the sand and pebbles, those urgent but less important tasks, you won't have space for the big rocks, your most important quadrant 2 goals. The key is to schedule those big rocks into your week first, aligning them with your different roles as a student, a founder, a family member, whatever it is, and try to schedule them during your peak productivity time of day. That's when your energy and focus are at their highest.
Oh yeah, knowing your peak productivity times, that's a game changer. Block out those 1-3-hour windows for your most demanding tasks. Group those less critical things like emails or administrative stuff for your lower energy periods. The video on scheduling for optimal productivity talks about this 3-step approach. Most important tasks during peak times, lesser tasks during low energy times, and you can even color code personal appointments to get a visual overview of your week. The key is, if you don't plan, you end up reacting all the time, dealing with those urgent but not necessarily important things, and that leads to procrastination on what truly matters. And research is clear. Even just creating detailed implementation intentions, you know, clear plan for when and where you'll act, that can boost your success rate from like 34% to a whopping 91%. That's huge.
You know, it's funny, we can even learn some great time management lessons by looking at how a computer works. Think about it. Computers are most efficient when they avoid multitasking and interruptions, because switching between tasks creates all this overhead. Same for us, right? Try the touch it once principle. When a task comes up, either act on it immediately, delegate it, or decide when you'll do it. Don't let it just sit there. And like a computer processes similar files together, batching similar tasks can save you a ton of time and mental energy, like responding to all your emails at once instead of sporadically throughout the day.
And, you know, we can't talk about taking action without mentioning habits. If you want to consistently work towards your goals, you need to master habit formation. And for that, James Clear's Atomic Habits is the gold standard.
What I love about understanding habit formation is that it's like you're training your system 1, your elephant, to automatically support your goals. This frees up your limited system 2 resources so your conscious mind can focus on other things. Building good habits takes that struggle out of pursuing your goals. It makes it sustainable, even enjoyable.
For sure. And Clear lays out these 4 key stages for building good habits. First, make it obvious. This is about becoming more aware of your current habits. Use those clear implementation intentions, those "I will action at time in location" statements. Then there's habit stacking, where you link a new habit to an existing one, like after I current habit, I will new habit. And even designing your environment to cue those good habits, like putting a book you want to read right on your pillow. Little things make a difference.
Next up is make it attractive. You got to make that desired behavior appealing. Temptation bundling is great for this, pairing something you want to do with something you need to do. Another thing is joining a community or group where that desired behavior is the norm. That social reinforcement is powerful. And create a little motivation ritual. Do something you enjoy right before tackling that challenging habit. It's like priming your brain for success.
Stage 3 is make it easy. It's all about reducing friction. Focus on mastering that decisive moment, that first step that gets you going. Use the 2-minute rule. If a habit seems overwhelming, break it down so the initial action takes less than 2 minutes. And look for ways to automate those habits or make them the default option in your life.
And finally, you've got to make it satisfying. That's how you reinforce the habit loop and make it stick. Use immediate reinforcement, reward yourself, even in small ways, after completing your new habit. Track your progress and make a conscious effort not to break the chain. And remember, if you miss a day, don't miss twice. Get back on track as soon as possible.
It's amazing how closely these habit formation principles align with that effectual searching mindset we talked about. It's all about optimizing for the starting line, taking action, even if it's small steps, rather than waiting for the perfect plan. It's about embracing the journey, making those small improvements over time, and focusing on one thing at a time. Those are core concepts in the Lean Startup methodology. And even the idea of doing a failure pre-mortem, thinking ahead about potential obstacles, that resonates with the affordable loss principle. In the end, action is the key. Taking action, even imperfectly, shapes your beliefs and ultimately changes your identity.
That feedback loop between identity and habits, it's powerful stuff. If you consistently do something like coding for 30 minutes a day, you start to see yourself as a coder, and that reinforces your motivation to keep going. Those habits become proof of who you're becoming. As James Clear puts it, habits are the path through which you change your identity.
So it's that conscious intent, that deliberate use of your system too, that bridges the gap between those often subconscious thoughts and your planned actions. And having clear goals gives you a real edge. Research by Edwin Locke and Gary Latham shows that goals help you focus your attention, direct your efforts, increase your persistence, and they have this energizing effect. More challenging goals usually lead to greater effort and better performance than easier ones. And don't forget, write those goals down. That helps with remembering them and planning effectively. Those big, aspirational BHHEs, those are important for vision, but to actually take action, you need to break them down into smaller, specific, SMART goals.
And you know, it's vital to set goals that support your long-term well-being. They should be rooted in your deepest values, motivated by positive aspirations, not just a fear of failure. Tools for self-reflection and values identification can be really helpful here. And don't neglect those internal character-related goals, like building your self-efficacy and optimism. Designing the mind makes a great point. Desire for the present to be different from the present incites pain, but desire for the future to be different from the present incites action.
And remember that feedback loop between your beliefs, actions, and emotions. Your thoughts have a huge impact on how you feel, which is a core principle in both positive psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy. When you set your goals, ask yourself, am I motivated by love or by fear? Is this about moving towards something I truly desire, or am I just running away from something I'm afraid of?
Right. It's about positive motivation. And to reiterate, goal setting works best when you combine it with those principles of effectual searching, especially when you're starting with a vague opportunity. Norman Vincent Peale said it beautifully. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Even if you don't hit those ambitious goals perfectly, you'll achieve more than aiming too low or not aiming at all.
So to wrap it up, we've explored these three interconnected tools to help you boost your PERMA: setting better goals, developing strong habits, and using positive self-talk and cognitive reframing techniques to cultivate those supportive beliefs.
Remember that conversation between Alice and the Cheshire Cat in Wonderland? Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? Alice asks. The cat says, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to. And when Alice says she doesn't much care, the cat tells her, then it doesn't much matter which way you go. Knowing your goals gives you that direction you need.
And all of this leads us to trustworthiness and character. Trustworthiness is all about making and keeping commitments to yourself and to others. And as we've discussed, well-defined goals, effective time management, and those consistent habits, those are the essential building blocks for honoring those commitments and building a reputation for reliability. Think about it. What kind of person do you aspire to be? Reliability, that's a cornerstone of strong character and positive relationships.
All right, let's touch on those assignments. Make sure everyone's on the same page. Assignment 6, that's your in-class presentation focusing on your entrepreneurial opportunity. Assignment 7, that's the big business model canvas assignment worth a hefty 25% of your grade. For this one, you need to thoroughly document your venture, including insights from those customer interviews, a detailed customer persona, a clear customer profile canvas, and you need to articulate each of the 9 elements of your business model canvas or BMYU canvas. Don't forget a well-organized appendix with all your supporting documents and a clear outline of your next steps. This needs to be a professional report, no errors. And of course, you'll need to review and attest to upholding those academic integrity principles.
And just a quick but important note on communication, whether you're presenting verbally or in writing, break down your information into digestible chunks. Use clear paragraph breaks, bullet points, concise section headers, and even some visuals if they're relevant. A big wall of text is overwhelming. It's hard to follow. Aim for white space in your reports. That'll make them more readable and visually appealing, which will definitely lead to a better reception and, hey, maybe even a better grade. The same principle applies to speaking. Think about using oral punctuation, those strategic pauses, changes in tone and volume, and repeating those key points to keep your audience engaged. If you speak too softly or in a monotone, it's tough for people to follow. You know, it's interesting. Our course surveys consistently show that over 2/3 of students say their professional communication skills improved significantly after taking this course. We highly recommend checking out the Grammarly blog post, How to Write a Report, a guide. Lots of practical tips in there.
We also have two bonus videos for you to explore. The first one dives into how our beliefs are formed and this idea of collective illusions, how our perception of what others believe can actually shape our own beliefs. The second one features a fascinating conversation with Sam Harris about the benefits of mindfulness and meditation. He talks about how they can help you become more self-aware and approach life in a more transformative way. It really connects with that whole idea of what a university education should be about, you know, encouraging that deep level of personal growth and understanding.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's bring those central themes back into focus. We looked at the power of setting goals that truly resonate with your values, the strategic use of both structured planning and that adaptable search methodology, the importance of habit formation to bridge that gap between intention and action, and the absolute necessity of effective time management to make it all happen. And remember, these elements all work together to build that foundation for personal trustworthiness and ultimately achieve that long-term sense of fulfillment, that PERMA we talked about.
It all boils down to recognizing and owning your power of agency and self-leadership. You have the ability to shape your character and your future by consciously applying these principles.
So here's a final thought for you to ponder. How will you intentionally weave these principles of goal setting, habit formation, and time management into your daily life to move closer to your aspirations? How will you cultivate the person you truly want to become? Go back to that initial self-assessment about your attitude towards goals. Maybe after today's discussion, your perspective has shifted a bit. It's worth reflecting on where you are now and the direction you want to take in shaping your future.